following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 224, recorded on Thursday, July 13th, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Mr. Brad Ludwig. Coming up, Kesha credits new album to UFO encounter. Newly discovered planet has scientists scratching their heads. And actor Kurt Russell has this week's sighting. We'll also talk about our picks and warnings, too. Before all that, our question.
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
If you could have any alien weapon from fiction, which one would it be and why, Brad Ludwig?
And this could be literary.
Anything.
Movie-wise, game. Okay. One of the coolest things I can think of, which can be used as a weapon, but has other applications, is the Portal Gun from the Portal game series.
Okay, why don't you explain for the uninitiated what all the things that it does?
The Portal Gun allows you to create an open, like an entry portal and an exit portal, and that could be anywhere.
Yep.
And with it, you can go to different places, and basically you just walk through one side and you come out the other. So you could use it in a fashion where you could drop a portal under an enemy's feet and then have them, shoot them out somewhere else. Or you could use it for, say you need to get up on your roof and you don't have a ladder or something ridiculous
so
like that.
So it's not just as a weapon. It can be used for both defensive and offensive.
Correct.
Okay. And it's non-lethal. It doesn't, well, it could be lethal, but nine times out of ten, it probably isn't lethal. You could make it lethal if you wanted to.
It's completely up to the user of the portal gun as to, as to what you choose to do with it. So, yes, it could be used to harm others, or you could use it as a tool to, get to places you wouldn't normally get to.
My pick for alien weapon is going to be the Batleth.
Oh, okay.
The Klingon sword slash whatever else it could be compared to. Because it's not really a sword. It's kind of like a cleaver, sort of. I'm trying to remember how it is, what it looks like.
It's a curved weapon that has basically three handles. So think of a crescent moon, and on the convex side of the weapon, the crescent moon, the back of the moon, as it were, has three spots that have places for you to put your hands, and they are wrapped in leather. So there are three basically handholds on the quote-unquote back of the weapon. On the inside of the crescent that is this weapon, there are sharp pointed ends at the tips of the crescent, and then on the inside there's like almost an interior smaller crescent that has pointed ends, and the entire inside of that is it's beveled like a sword. So it is sharp throughout, and there are four points to the weapon.
So there's there's multiple ways to hold it, and there's multiple ways for it to be used.
Yes.
See, that's why I picked it. It's a multi-purpose, just kind of like your portal thing.
Yes. There are multiple ways in which you can go about using it, sure.
Multiple ways to hack off somebody's arm and or head. Or yes. Any other parts of your body? All parts of your body. Hack, hack, hack.
Hackety, hack, hack, hack.
Hack away. Kapla.
In the news.
The title of this article is New Exoplanet Challenges Formation Models. Finding exoplanets these days has become blasé. Yet taking an image of one remains exceedingly difficult. So difficult that of the thousands of exoplanets discovered, only a handful have ever been found through imaging. Against the odds, a team of European astronomers has just directly imaged a new giant exoplanet. It's not like taking a picture of the moon or anything like that, but they were able to basically get a picture of this planet, and it glows kind of an orangish color.
Okay, wait a second. I have a really important question.
Okay.
Is this the first time that we've photographed a planet that wasn't in our solar system?
I think that we have through gravitational lensing. Yeah, I want to say that we have.
But this is directly imaged, which means they're using, like, telescopes?
Yeah. It is the size of Jupiter, and it's about 2,420 degrees Fahrenheit, or 1,326 Celsius.
Hot.
And it's found at 92 AU. That's astronomical units, if I recall correctly, from its star, putting it about three times the distance of Neptune from the sun.
Okay.
So if you go Neptune and back three times,
wow,
that's how far away it is from its sun.
Holy crap. Well, it's pretty cool that they're actually able to image it.
Yeah.
That seems like a newer thing. They're actually directly looking at it through some kind of telescope.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, like the article says, there's been a handful that have been found through direct imaging. The planet is called HIP65426b.
Just rolls off your tongue, doesn't it?
Oh, boy. And unlike other young imaged exoplanets, it was not observed to have an accompanying debris disk. The dusty ring around a star made up of leftovers from a planet's formation. The planet is about 14 million years old, so it's pretty young. And the star for it, you would expect to have a visible disk, but it doesn't seem to. And it's a fast spinning system, so it's rotating 12 times faster than the sun and may have ejected any remaining material that would have otherwise created the debris disk.
Just flying, it just flies off. It's going so fast. Just whee!
Yeah. Now, they're saying that the combination of a relatively low mass of the exoplanet and its wide orbit is what defies the formation theories that they've had. It doesn't quite make sense.
Hmm.
Let's see. Any major insights into the planetary atmosphere will have to wait until we get improved instruments into space, like NASA's upcoming James Webb Space Telescope, the 6.5-meter successor to the Hubble. And it will have instruments capable of probing the planet's atmosphere in greater detail.
Not to be confused with the Mark Webb Telescope.
Or the George Webb Telescope. Love me some George Webb.
Wasn't Mark Webb the director of The Amazing Spider-Man 2? 1 and 2? I don't know.
Perhaps?
I'm derailing the show. Go ahead. No, just never mind. Disregard what I just said. Continue. Carry on.
As complex optic systems are continually improved and refined, scientists will be able to image fainter exoplanets on closer orbits, giving us a fuller picture of the family of exoplanets in the Milky Way. So this has really got them scratching their heads. This planet, it seems to be gaseous because they talk about it having a very light mass, a very low mass. And it's spinning so fast that any debris that would have been created or pulled in during the formation of the solar system has not accumulated around the planet. It has just been spun off. So it is unusual. And hopefully when the James Webb telescope gets out there, they'll be able to get some more data on it and come up with some answers.
I want the resolution so good that we're able to see aliens on the planet. Not this one, because this one's a gaseous planet, but on a rocky planet. I want the telescopes to be so good that we see the aliens giving us the finger. That would be awesome.
That could happen. Yeah. We don't know.
It'd be like, quit looking at us. We don't look at you.
We want our privacy.
Yeah.
Go on.
All right. Thanks for updating us on the latest exoplanet search of the universe. Or something like that. I need a catchier name for that. We need an intro. We need some kind of like, because this is a recurring feature, a recurring type of story that we cover on the Alien Invasion. We need some kind of theme music and intro for these type of stories.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Somebody will work on it. I'm too busy. So somebody get on that, and we'll add it to the show. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks, or click on the icons at gncast.com.
So, since the last time we met, Brad, you went on a journey. You went on a vacation.
Sojourn.
Yes. A journey of discovery. A journey through space and time. No, that's Doctor Who. Tell us about your trip.
Well, we went to see Anessa's mother, who lives in Southwest Texas. And then we, for a few hours, we crossed the border into Mexico and got to hang out there for a bit. So,
cool.
Yeah, all in all, it was really, except for the traveling portion, the rest of it was very, very restful.
Yeah, traveling can be very stressful, especially taking planes, because there's the whole security, standing in line, waiting, dealing with people.
That portion is actually not that bad for Anessa and I. It is a little bit harder for Alex to navigate through, and he doesn't have a problem going up escalators, but he has a problem going down escalators. That kind of frightens him a bit. So when we were in Atlanta, we had to go down a two-story escalator to get to the monorail. And Anessa went ahead of Alex and myself, and Alex kind of faked me out. And then I was on the down escalator, and there was no up escalator in this particular area. So he stood at the top of the escalator for a little bit. Anessa found an elevator and went up and got him. The elevator wasn't clearly labeled, so it didn't seem like an option at the time. So that portion was a bit stressful, but other than that, we had a pretty good time.
Any interesting things that you saw, experienced?
You know, I got a tour of a portion of Mexico from somebody, a small business owner who lived in that city, who was a friend of Vanessa's mother. And it was an eye-opening and I don't want to say life-changing. That sounds pretty extreme.
We talked about this before we started recording, that you have a newfound insight on a certain situation.
Yeah.
Sort of.
I view the situation of immigration, illegal immigration, and, crossing the border a little differently. than I did before, and ways to possibly improve the situation that don't necessarily include building a bigger, badder wall. Mm-hmm. So, but I will leave my politics out of this. So
now you have to come north. You've been south. You have to come north. So you can say you've been to. Have you been to Canada before?
I have not yet, and we do want to get to Canada by fall. We would like to.
Oh, sweet.
Travel up.
Well, like where?
I don't know if we'll get to Ottawa necessarily, but we would like to check out Canada.
Okay. Well, maybe the time after that, you'll come to Ottawa and we'll hang out. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
You know who the Kesha is, right?
I do.
The first experience that I had with Kesha was a music video that she didn't put out but became popular online. It was a Star Trek video to her song. I think it was like one of her, if not her first big hits. It's the one where she goes, "I'm not coming back, don't stop." I can't think of the title. Anyways, that was my first introduction. They used scenes from Star Trek, the original series, to make a music video. And I thought that was kind of cool. Anyways, Kesha, her new album, inspired by an encounter with an alien. I'll let that sink in for a second.
Yep.
Okay.
Let it wash over you.
Yep. Rainbow, which is what it's called, features several spaceships on the cover. And in an interview, the singer said, "I was totally sober, just a lady in the desert, and I look up in the sky, and there's a bunch of spaceships." She adds, "I swear to God, there were like 5 to 7, and I don't know why I didn't take a picture of it. I just looked at it. I was sitting on a rock, and I was like, well, what in the hell was that? And I was trying to figure it out, and then they went away, and then they came back. I was like, maybe they are fires on the mountain really high up in the sky." "What was even weirder was that they came back in a different form. I was like, those are effing aliens." "They were spaceship," she recalls. The sighting ended up being a defining moment that influenced the theme of Rainbow, which will be released on August 11th. So it's been a huge running theme on this album. "The cover of my album has a bunch of spaceships," she said. "It also inspired one of the album tracks called Spaceship." So,
interesting.
What do you think? Do you think?
I think that, you know what, as much as everybody would say, "Oh, I get my camera," you know what? That's probably the most honest reaction I've ever heard. Because there was doubt. She didn't know if she thought maybe there were fires, and she was just trying to figure it out. And by the time she figured it out, well, it was kind of too late. So.
You know, we should maybe give a little bit of slack to people that have these encounters that we talk about in the sighting section or on the whole podcast itself, where we're like, why didn't they take a picture? Well, maybe they were like her, where you're like, not sure what it is. So you don't have time to grab something to take a picture or video. And by the time, like you said, by the time you do or think about it, the moment's over. Because as we know from our sightings, a lot of times they're very quick. They go by super fast. Also, maybe you just want to soak in the moment. You know, you want to experience it. You don't want to experience it through the lens of a camera.
You know, it's one of those things where most people, obviously Kesha has come out and said, I saw UFOs. Most people would analyze it a bit, I believe, before they took pictures and could possibly open themselves up to ridicule. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That you would analyze what you're seeing for a little bit first before you even took steps to do something, you know, to record it or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wouldn't deride her or criticize her for not taking pictures of it. But, you know, I think that her reaction is just sounds really honest. It sounds like most things that Kesha says. She says things very earnestly, and there don't seem to be filters. So I I kind of buy what she has to say here.
She's very genuine. Mm-hmm. And I hope that she has more control of her career and her music, because it sounds like she had a very bad experience with her producer or her manager. I forget who it was.
I think he was the producer.
Yeah. What I'm doing right now is I'm looking up the lyrics of Spaceship just to see what the song is about. Thought it'd be fun to do that. So, okay. All right. Oh, yeah. None of these websites have the actual lyrics. Okay. Never mind then. I thought that would be fun to find out what the song is actually about. Anyways. All right. Again, it comes out on August 11th. It's called Rainbow. And it's all about Kesha's encounter with aliens in the desert. So go pick it up. It's going to be a smash hit. If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
Move on to sightings. These are objects, lights, and other unexplained phenomenon that people have seen in the sky, on the ground, that they think may or may not be an alien craft. And this one comes from a very famous person in regards to a very famous incident. I thought this was very interesting. We usually do the MUFON reports, but I got something pulled from the news this week.
What?
Yeah. If you are at all into UFO lore, you are familiar with the famed Phoenix Lights incident of 1997, when thousands of people witnessed, and many reported, a bizarre light formation over the city. It turns out that actor Kurt Russell was one of those people in the latter category. During a recent BBC interview promoting Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Russell revealed that he was one of the pilots that reported the Phoenix Lights. So he is one of the people responsible for us knowing all about this incident back in 1997. That's pretty awesome. He said, "I was flying with his son Oliver to go see his girlfriend, and we were on approach. I saw six lights over the airport in absolute uniform in a V-shape. Oliver said to me, I was just looking at him. I was coming in. We're maybe a half mile out. And Oliver said, Pa, what are those lights?" I'm sure that's not how he sounded.
He sounds just like that.
They were flying to see his girlfriend, so I'm sure his voice was a lot deeper. Pa, what are those lights? But for some reason, he has a southern accent. I don't know why. Then I kind of came out of my reverie and said, that's a fancy word, Kurt. He came out of his reverie and said, "I don't know what they are. Are we okay here?" his son said. And I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna call in," and I reported it. He actually didn't think much of the incident at the time. It wasn't until years later, when his wife Goldie Hawn was watching a special about the Phoenix Lights on TV, that he realized it was actually a big deal. So he was part of this major incident and didn't realize the scope at the time.
Huh.
Sounds like. It's so funny how he just kind of casually mentioned it. Well, here's why he mentioned it, because the host of this talk show asked him and Chris Pratt if they believed in alien life or not. Chris Pratt said no, and then Kurt launched into this whole story about seeing the formation of lights over Phoenix in 1997. So that was kind of interesting.
I would like to see, like to have seen and or heard Chris Pratt's reaction to that admission.
Yeah, I'm sure he gave that wide-eyed look that he does when he gets excited.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'd like to see them or somebody put together a documentary, because this kind of relates to Mike Kesha's story in a way. Another celebrity talking about some kind of alien encounter or UFO sighting. I'd like to see somebody put together a documentary of famous people and their sightings, because there's been a few. Because we can go back to talking about the guy from Travis from Blink. Is it Travis from Blink 182 or one of the other guys?
I think it's Travis. Yeah.
He had. He's really big into aliens. He's had a few encounters, supposedly. You have your Jimmy Carter. He said that he saw a UFO from the roof of the White House, I think.
No, it was when he was in Georgia, I believe.
Okay. That was Willie Nelson who saw that. Willie Nelson was smoking pot on the roof of the White House, I believe.
And if you're Willie Nelson, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. But my point is, it would be cool to see this in a documentary form. All the singers, celebrities, famous people, politicians who have encountered or had a sighting of some kind. That'd be a neat deal. There we go. Oh, you know what? There's that movie that came out recently about the Phoenix Lights. Should watch that for a pick. I think I saw it on Netflix that it's available. So maybe I'll watch that next time. If I was smart, I would have connected all of it. I would have connected this to the Kesha thing and then my sighting to, or my pick and warning to the sighting, if I was smart.
Well, we still love you, Dave.
Thanks. If you would like to get an extra podcast from time to time on a pretty recurring regular basis, like a rundown of new comic books hitting shelves, please consider becoming a partner with the Alien Invasion. Go to gncasts.com/support. That's gncasts.com/support, and click on the Patreon link. And just make a monthly pledge on our Partner Plus tier. You'll get that Gregor is doing the poll list that he was doing for our podcast, Galactic Radio. But he's doing it for our Patreon members, for our partners. If you want in on that, become a Partner Plus, and you'll get that. Plus, there's more audio content coming soon. Mark is going to be doing his movie reviews. And Peter is going to be doing an expanded app review show. It's all
nice.
Bonus extra content that you can only get by being a partner with us. So again, go to gncasts.com/support. We're going to make probably every month an episode available to anybody, just as kind of a sample of what we're offering. So if you're not quite sure, then make sure that you subscribe to the master feed, the mega feed, and you'll get that from time to time. And then if you like it, you can become a partner and get that on a regular basis. We have different rewards on our other levels as well, like getting your name mentioned on our podcasts or having a month of messages read as a partner pro. We consider that our sponsor level. So one more time, become a partner with us by going to gncasts.com/support, and we thank you.
And Dave, it's called the mega feed.
Sorry. Next time I'll say it like that.
Okay.
Or I'll cue you, because I don't have that fancy thing on my mixer. Mr. Fancy Pants and his Fancy Pants mixer.
Yep, that's me. Me and my fancy pants.
Hello, I'm Gregor Sprague, and this is the Elts Nerds. Now, what are the Elts Nerds? Well, it's myself and Corey Scott, along with our producers, Beatmaster and Evan Rockety, as we talk about everything that is on our nerdy little heart, whether it be comic books, movies, TV shows, video games, cell phones, the moments that we're walking down the street and a person says hi. It doesn't matter. We talk about everything, and you can find it at ElsNerds.com.
Watching, reading, playing,
making. It's picks and warnings time. These are things that we have watched, read, played, made, anything entertaining relating to extraterrestrials of some kind. I know that I'm first on the list, Brad, but let's kind of flip-flop and let you go first. If you don't
mind.
We're
going to flip-flop.
Yeah.
Holy crap. All right. My pick is a BBC drama called The Aliens.
Ooh.
And I just watched the first episode, and I found this on Hulu, actually. And a season is six episodes, is kind of standard for British TV shows.
No, Brad, that's series.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
What would Daryl think of you?
He's been ashamed of me for so long, it's not even funny. The whole premise of this show is that aliens landed on Earth 40 years ago, and this takes place in current day. And there is basically a border patrol, and, you know, much like crossing the border to, you know, maybe Canada or Mexico, you have to go through a checkpoint. And these aliens look exactly like humans.
Oh, I've seen this show.
The show kind of revolves around one particular character who is a border guard, and he is a well-intentioned individual who is very racist, speciesist, whatever you want to call it, against the aliens. Our first episode that we get to see it gives you a good glimpse into his life, into his family, and, you know, his sister, and it's not clear if it's a husband or just a boyfriend that she's living with, and they have a child, but they are addicted to the hair of the aliens can be smoked as a drug. So there is actually a kind of a black market demand for the hair of the aliens because it can be smoked, and it is a mild hallucinogen / narcotic kind of a drug. And when you burn it, it turns green. It gives off green flames. Both our main character, our protagonist's family members, the dad is an alcoholic and his sister is kind of a worthless, kind of a junkie type individual. And while it is a drama, there are bits of comedy. Some of it is unfortunate comedy, a bit of schadenfreude. But it's very, very interesting to see how things unfold, and the way the first episode really had me on the edge of my seat and really had me feeling things for this particular protagonist that I didn't like him, and then I did like him, and then I realized how out of his depth he is in certain situations that he finds himself in, and you kind of end up liking the guy despite all of his flaws.
He's a lovable loser is what he is.
Yeah, he is. He is. And like I said, I only saw the first episode, but I was really intrigued, and I probably will finish the series. So again, that is The Aliens. It is a BBC drama that I found on Hulu.
I'm not quite sure if there's a second series because it was on Canadian TV last year and I haven't seen a promo for the second series yet. So I don't know if it got picked up again. Spoiler okay. alert, sorry.
No, and that's fine. It's you know, there are parts of the first episode that are really hard to watch.
Mm-hmm. Very dark, not only dark, but dark humor as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it reminds me of kind of a Breaking Bad type of show, sort of in a way.
To a certain degree, it doesn't revolve around, you know, I mentioned the drugs. It doesn't really entirely revolve around it, though the drugs do kind of take a major plot bit in the first episode.
Mm-hmm. But they don't hold back. That's the whole Breaking Bad part of it. Like it's
yeah. Okay. Yep.
It's very real and raw.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. Raw is a good way to describe that. That it is.
Okay. So my pick. Oh, what's your rating? How many flying saucers?
I would give it 4 flying saucers.
All right. That's a very healthy rating. Okay, my pick this week is Joe Rogan Questions Everything, Real Close Encounters. I've never listened to his podcast, but on this episode of this show, it kind of incorporates his podcast a little bit. He has his have you ever listened to Joe Rogan?
Yes, podcast? I have.
Okay. That guy that he's like his co-host. He's on this show as well. So what he does is he talks to different people in the realm of aliens, UFOs, unexplained aerial phenomenon, and tries to get answers. He goes to different people, different types of people, different people with different types of experience. One of them is, God, who was he? He was I think he talked to a former senator who was at, remember we covered this on an episode a long, long time ago where they did the faux Senate hearings in Washington where they had,
Yep.
They had like ex-senators and ex-representatives doing like a hearing like they do in Washington, talking to or getting statements, and these experts would, just like you would see in Washington now, you would have like the James Comey up there talking about the FBI and Trump, right? But instead it's UFO experts talking about aliens. So they had one of the people in those mock hearings involved on the show. He also talked to a person that had implants, supposed implants, taken from people that supposedly got abducted by aliens and had these implants put in them, and they took them to a resonance scanner guy who kind of confirmed that they were part gold, part silver, like a very rare metals, and they're super, super, super duper small, and they couldn't really explain how they got inside these people. So they might be implants, they may not be implants. He talks about Roswell. He talks about this guy. He's a very rich guy. And I don't remember his name now, but he runs an aerospace company. And he's very much a believer in aliens and extraterrestrials. And he's got a ranch out in the middle of the desert. And supposedly this ranch is the location of some weird stuff. Supposedly there's some UFO alien stuff going on at this ranch, but you can't get near it because there's heavy security. It's kind of like a private Area 51.
Oh, sure.
And it's the Skinwalker Ranch is what it's called. I should have taken notes. My memory's the worst. So basically, it's Joe Rogan going around and confronting these people. He's like, I want evidence. I want real evidence. This is not real evidence. You know how Joe Rogan is. He's very, like, in your face, which I kind of respect in a way, because I've watched a lot of these documentary series, and they always treat the people they're talking to with kid gloves. They don't really confront them. They take the people at their word for the most part.
Yeah. Yep.
They never, you know, put their feet to the fire and try to get the real truth. This is what Joe Rogan was doing on this episode of Joe Rogan Questions Everything. It's available on Netflix, but you can also get it on Amazon, which is the link that we'll include in the show notes. Maybe you watch it, and maybe a little bit of that money that you spend comes back to us. That's how that works. So, Joe Rogan Questions Everything. This is looks like the only episode about aliens, but it's all like unexplained stuff. It's all like paranormal and conspiracies, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers.
Nice.
So in review, we had Brad's The Aliens, the BBC drama, episode 1, and Joe Rogan Questions Everything, Real Close Encounters. And again, like I said, we'll have the links in the show notes, and you can experience these for yourself.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going to gncast.com/subscribe. or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
So that's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. We'd like to thank a number of people, including Monkey Warhol, for giving us our intro music, a song called Alien Syndrome. You can find it at, I was going to say soundcloud.com/Monkey Warhol, but you know what? SoundCloud is probably going to go away in the next couple of months.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
So I'll direct you to his website, which is monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. That's monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also to Retward von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for our closing song called Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at thecaravel.net. thecaravel.net. Also thanks to Ben Olson.
Ben!
For recording our disclaimer audio at the very beginning of the episode. His website is benolson.com. All right, before we leave, final thoughts. Brad, what do you got?
I'm really glad that we decided to go with Podbean instead of SoundCloud now.
Yes, it was a good choice, good decision. Oh, I wanted to ask you, you went to see Spider-Man Homecoming, right?
I did.
Yeah. You like it?
It was good. I enjoyed it a great deal. It really drove home the fact that he was a high school student. Tom Holland did a great job being a kid who is 15 years old and being a superhero. It really felt genuine. And he's just completely awestruck that he worked with the Avengers and he has some ties to Tony Stark. And it's a lot to digest, and he treated that kind of headspace that you would think that a 15-year-old would be in, I think, really, really well. So it was a very enjoyable movie, and I would highly recommend it. And stay through all of the credits.
Yeah, that's
all good, of them.
That's just good advice for any Marvel movie, really.
If you see any Marvel movie, don't be the person that goes, oh, movie's done, and walk out. Even though you've been told time and time again that something happens, don't worry about not being able to get out of the parking lot as quickly as you wanted to do. Sit. You paid the money for the seat. Sit in the seat and enjoy the entire show.
And your bladder, absolutely. Your bladder will be fine.
It, you know, if you have to get up to pee, fine, but come back because it's well worth watching.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.